My name is Kezia, and I will be sharing with you my testimony, which is entitled Love, Lust, and Lies. I grew up in Brooklyn, New York, the only child to my parents, and I grew up in a two-family household. And my mother, she is Filipino, and also from a young age, I already knew there was a difference between how I looked and how she looked. So when I was younger, I always used to pray, Lord, make me yellow, because I knew that my mother was a woman, and me being a girl, I just thought that I should have looked like her, and also realizing the differences in our hair texture. Her hair was straight, mine is just traveling purposes, but just noticing there was a difference in our hair. So just having that constant struggle with being a rather content with who I was. My father, he is Guyanese, and also he was always instilling in me from a young age education. So whenever it came to doing homework, he was the one always checking my homework, doing my math, whatever it was, the tutoring, he was the one always there. My parents, they were married for about 17 years, and from a young age, I knew that there was a little of a difference going on in the household because there was a lot of arguing going on. So by the time I was age 5, I ended up having my first encounter with another girl, and this was in my preschool, around preschool first grade. And for me, that just started the journey with my sexual encounters. My grandparents, they came to live with us for a few years when I was younger, but when they moved out from where we were living in Brooklyn and they had moved to Washington State, I had noticed a vast difference in how they operated. So when it came to the weekends, especially when Sabbaths came about, I noticed that they would go to church, they would, you know, have potluck, they would, you know, go have on like their nature walk. So they were just really more on the calmer spirit and always just praying and just asking God for guidance. I would always remember vividly growing up just seeing them when it came to the morning time and the evening time, they would always kneel down to pray. And to me, that always stuck with me because I had said to myself, why is it that with my parents, they didn't do that? By the age of 9, I ended up having my second sexual encounter, and this was with a group of girls, kind of like a orgy style. So to me, that just kind of brought about my idea of what sexuality is supposed to be, which is with girls and or like orgy style. By the age of 12, my parents ended up divorcing, and this just brought about a lot of arguing. And with that going about, I know my mother, she was very distraught with what was going on, and her being angry because she was internalizing a lot of the things that was going on, she also at the same time with internalizing her anger and not necessarily getting help, she had also put that anger on me. And with that, that just kind of brought about a lot of frustration with me that had me acting out externally. My father, when he ended up leaving, he just left abruptly, and from that point on, our connection, our communication just kind of became stagnant at that point. So eventually it just became my mother and I, and our relationship ended up becoming a bit shaky because, you know, like I had mentioned from my earlier days, a lot of my, or rather who I thought I was or who I saw myself to be, she did not look like that. So there was always this constant arguing we had going on, frustrations, and sometimes she would just let her anger out on me. So throughout the years, it just brought about a lot of defiance within the household because I didn't really know how to speak to her in a manner where she was loving to me. I know as a young person, she definitely did her best in trying to raise me by her own, but at the same time, it was a lot on her. By the time high school came about, I ended up losing my virginity. And the crazy thing about it was, even though sometimes when I was younger, we would go to church, sometimes just, you know, if we had time, I was baptized in the beginning of the year, and then by the end of the year, I ended up losing my virginity. So to me, it wasn't really nothing when it came to God, because you know how sometimes there are Bible workers who are so pressed for numbers, and they don't really take the time out to say, okay, do you even know God? So that's what ended up happening. It was just more so of a numbers thing that went about. So this just began my journey of really just internalizing my frustrations, my anger. So I just went about being very promiscuous with guys as well as women. I ended up being very depressed and suicidal as well. And I remember I used to try to kill myself. I'd use like take the pillows and like try to suffocate myself, but it didn't really work. So praise God for that. But it was definitely a hard process. I also began partying and then the drinking, the smoking aspect. And eventually I got arrested. I was shoplifting, so I had done that several times. But just to show you like the manner of a person, or rather a teenager I was just so angry. And I didn't really know how to tell anybody about that. But at the same time, I just continued in that behavior because I figured that any type of love was better than no love. And even if that meant that love had hurt, I was just like, well, it's something better than what I was getting at home. Eventually, within high school, the two girls on the left side, they actually were Adventists. I didn't even know they were Adventists. I was in Pathfinders because my mom, you know, just put me into something for me to do. And I just kind of took it as, well, it's another extracurricular activity. I grew up with playing a lot of musical instruments, so it was always an activity going on. So I just thought, all right, when it comes to Pathfinders, it's just another extracurricular activity. So I remember in one camp meeting, because at school, like, I had my jewelry on and all of that, when I then went to like Pathfinder campery, I was like, oh, you're Adventist too? Like, I didn't even know. And on top of that, it was because I used to curse a lot too, and I used to eat like lots of bacon, so they didn't even think I was Adventist, but I was like, yes, I am. Quote unquote. Eventually, I ended up going to college, which was a miracle in and of itself because, like I had shared with you, my nature of just being very defiant, I had applied to 20 plus colleges and I did not get in. And I really didn't care. The goal was just to get away from home. And thankfully, I did get away from home. And so this goes to show you like how much research I did not do, because my goal was, all right, when I go to college, I'll do like music, I'll major in music. Because like middle school and high school, I did like the orchestra. So I figured, you know what, college come, I'll do music major. I get up to the campus, they didn't even have a music major. And I was like, oh. So the second option, I was like, all right, we'll do interior design. So that was possible. And also I was like, I'll join the swim team because as a little kid, I used to swim. So I figured, you know what, maybe I could join the Olympics. That was my plan. So I said, you know what, I'll join the swim team and I'll just do interior design. So I had did that, as well as I had just continued in my defiant behavior and just continuing in that process and just thinking that eventually, I didn't really think anything would change per se, but I knew from before, like especially like my teenage years and not really knowing God personally, I always had looked at him as a genie. So I remember whenever I was having sex afterwards, I would say, Lord, just make sure I don't get pregnant or have any AIDS or HIV. So that was like always my thought process. It wasn't more so of, we should stop this because it's wrong, because I was not taught that. What I was taught was just wear a condom. It was never don't have sex. It was just wear a condom. So not saying I did that all the time, but by God's mercy, he still sought me out. By the following year, I think it was the middle of my freshman year and sophomore year, I ended up going home and, like a summer break. And the goal was for me to get high. So I had reached out to one of my guy friends. I just told him I just wanted to get high and smoke. And then we did that, but we were so high, we ended up having sex. So I was just so distraught because I was just like, this was not the plan. The plan was just to get high. That's it. But because we were just so high, we had sex. And then by the following day, because I had to go to work, I went to work, and where I was at that time as a lifeguard, it was a Sunday and nobody really came to the pools on Sunday. So I took it as a perfect opportunity to sleep because I was like, I didn't sleep the night before. I'm asleep right now. So I was crying because I was just so disappointed in myself because, like I had said, my goal was just to smoke. That was it. So I ended up falling asleep. And as I was falling asleep, I ended up having a dream. And in that dream, I saw myself getting rebaptized. So of course I woke up distraught and I remember just singing, God is the joy and the strength of my life. He removes all pain, misery, and strife. So at that point in waking up, I was confused because I was like, I'm not trying to see God right now. I don't understand what's going on. But the beauty of it is to see that, but God commandeth his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Romans 5:8. So that began a journey for me to see that, okay, there is someone chasing after me, because clearly in that baptism, I didn't know what was going on, but the image, I couldn't deny what was happening. So eventually I started to get my life together somewhat. By God's grace, another girl within my campus, she was actually Adventist. So I always, like when I remember freshman year, she always, like when it was Friday nights, she always made sure like to not party. She wouldn't do her homework or anything. But for me, I was like, I was out partying. When it was Saturdays, I had swim meets. I didn't really care. But for her, I always noticed like she seemed kind of serious about this. So that began our walk as a friends, but to be much more closer in Christ. And then as I began getting serious with Christ, I then also became a bit more active within church. And eventually I did end up getting rebaptized. And the crazy part about it was from the time I had the dream and the time I actually did get baptized, it was about a 3-year difference. And the same way I saw myself getting baptized was the same way I had envisioned myself 3 years prior. Mm-hmm. So of course it was just like, whew, what's going on? And also because I never really went to that church before. So just to see how everything had worked out, to see how God was really making himself clear and just making it known that I do love you. Eventually, I did go to Costa Rica, and I was just participating in a women's conference. And there, I heard one girl mention how she had struggled with pornography and masturbation. And in my head, I was like, oh, I do too. But I didn't really say anything because I didn't really think it was like that bad, because it wasn't really something I heard a lot of people talking about. But through her testimony, I knew I was scheduled in the afternoon to just briefly share my testimony, about 5-10 minutes. So as I was sharing my testimony, I then had shared also how I too had struggled with pornography and masturbation. So I was under the impression that as long as I share my testimony, that boom, I'm good. Like I'm, you know, I don't have to do any work. Because you know how in Revelation it talks about we overcome by the blood of the Lamb, the word of our testimony. So I was under the impression that I say my testimony and I'm good. Yeah, and that didn't happen. So, you know, I went back to New York. And the relationship I was in, it ended up ending. So clearly God was just trying to make it known, like, Kezia, even the relationship you're in needs to end if you're really trying to get serious with me. We are prone to look to our fellow men for sympathy and uplifting instead of looking to Jesus. In his mercy and faithfulness, God often permits those in whom we place confidence to fail us, in order that we may learn the folly of trusting man and making flesh our arm. Let us trust fully, humbly, unselfishly in God. So at that point, I was seeing that I had put so much trust in this person, and God made it clear that this man was not going to help me. This man was not going to save me. So it began a process where I was like, all right, Lord, what are we going to do? So college, I had, thankfully, by God's grace, graduated college, and then I started to work for a company called Turner Construction, and this was one of our first projects that we had completed. And at this point, when the relationship had ended, I was like, Kezia, we still have to be proactive in how we're going to move forward in life. Because, you know, sometimes when a relationship ends, you put so much value in that. And then when that structure then ends, because in my head, I kind of saw it as a building. So when I had built this structure of, okay, we're going to get married, and God's like, boop, no, I'm just like, oh, what's my life? It's just like demolished. So crazy enough, the project I was working on, there was another project going on in that building. They were also demolishing it. So as I would walk to work every day, I was like a physical manifestation of what I was physically going through. So God was just reminding me like, yes, Kezia, I'm going to demolish everything you thought was you're going to be your life. And thankfully, throughout these past few years, God has definitely been rebuilding it. The Lord is disappointed when his people place a low self-esteem upon themselves. He desires his chosen heritage to value themselves according to the price he has placed upon them. At that moment, when I had first read this quote, I had saw that how I didn't really value myself. Because of course, God, he places such a high value upon us. And sometimes we choose anything so that we could just get some sort of love. But I was seeing that because of Christ coming down and dying for me, that he had loved me so dearly. God wanted them, else he would not have sent his son on such an expensive errand to redeem them. He has a use for them and is well pleased when they make the very highest demands upon him, that they may glorify his name. they may expect large things if they have faith in his promises. So after that relationship had ended, it came to a point where I was just like, Lord, all right, what are we going to do? Because when you place such a high value on something that ends up ending, you just become, there comes a point where I was realizing I was just questioning my existence. And with that, it just brought back a lot of suicidal thoughts. And it just so happened to be that I was listening to Doug Batchelor, and he had mentioned, if anyone's feeling suicidal, think if your life got better in the next year. So I was just like, oh, like, Kezia, what if your life just got better in the next year? Like, what if you just progressed one more year? And I said, if anything, if it goes horrible, I could always just kill myself. Like, that in my, that's what I had in my head. So I was like, all right, Kezia, make it the goal to continually improve. The Lord has given man capacity for continual improvement. The company I had worked for, surprisingly, their motto was also continual improvement. So for them, they had stressed heavily upon, we are the best, we're number one. So they were in a certain environment where they were always stressing, like, we are the best, we do very well. So just being in an environment surrounded by high performers, it had me question my own walk with God and saying, if I'm doing so well for man, why is it that in my own walk with God, it's crappy? So it began a journey. After the relationship had ended, I was just trying to just rebuild myself. And at that point, I was seeing that, you know what, I also have to come off of my steroidal cream. So I have eczema. And throughout the years, I've always just been taking the steroidal creams, but it wasn't necessarily the healthiest for me, because it also internally, there are some side effects that are not necessarily seen externally. So with that, I said, you know what, Lord, I do want to go on this holistic journey with you and going, you know, as clean as possible. And with that, I realized one of the places where I do the best is in warmer climates. So at this time, I was still living in New York, and I said, you know what, Lord, it'd be best if I could move somewhere warmer. So I had reached out to the company I was working with, and I had asked, hey, you know, can you relocate me? And they were just like, no, you've only been with the company for 11 months. So I was just like, okay, so what's the policy? And they said, it's 3 years. So in my head, I'm just like, 11 months, three, like, I'm not even there yet. But thankfully, God had worked it out. And I said, Lord, if it's in your will, please move me out of New York for my skin. But also because after the relationship had ended, I was going back to my old lifestyle and having multiple people within a week. And I was just coming to a point of frustration with my own self and saying, Kezia, why can't you control yourself? So I was just like, Lord, please help me to get out of New York, because I need to do better. I know I was sensing like it was wrong, but at the same time, it is who I am, and it's who I run to when I'm frustrated. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell in. So I had trusted that since this was God's world, that he would surely provide for me, and speaking to my the company I was working for. So thankfully, through God's grace, they had allowed me to relocate even within 11 months. So I had moved to Florida, which was definitely warmer, and it's nice and slow there. By God's grace, I was able to purchase a home. And it was so crazy because I had fasted and prayed for this home. And
Amen.
And thank you. Amen. Surely. I had fasted and prayed for the home. And I remember when I finally got the home, this was within like 6 months of having the home. I was like, all right, Lord, we'll have the home, but I also need to bless the home. So by God's grace, I was able to get the home blessed. But then at the same time, I was still like, you know, having the pornography and the masturbation. And in my head, my theory was, well, if I don't have Wi-Fi, then I can't really watch it on my computer, but I'll watch it on my phone. So it's not as bad, but it was still bad. But in my head, I was just trying to justify it and saying, well, it's not as on a big screen. But the crazy part is, with even trying to, you know, get the house blessed, in my head, I'm like, Lord, I don't want no evil spirits coming in the household. You know, I was just like, I don't want anybody to rob me and all that. But at the same time, it's like the things I was doing in the household. And also, there were, like, especially living in Florida, I had passed so many strip clubs. And I was just like, yo, I got to go. And I was like, Kezia, don't go. So there was just like a constant battle going on. And even when it came to like the sex clubs, I was just like, I want to go to the sex clubs. But it was just like a constant battling going on. And I remember the only thing that had stopped me from going to the strip clubs was that on my car, I had a license plate that said the seventh day is the Lord's Sabbath. So in my head, I was like, if I go in the parking lot and somebody sees me, it's like, who is this person? But in my head, it was just like, Keezy, like, just wait on the red light and go. Don't, you know, just keep focused. But it was such a constant battle going on internally. If you indulge in vain images, permitting your mind to dwell upon impure subjects, you are in a degree as guilty before God, as if your thoughts were carried into action. All that prevents the action is the lack of opportunity. So God knows what I was trying to do. Especially having this home to myself and knowing that when I was a teenager, I always had thought, all right, when I have my own place, I'm gonna have all these people over, we're gonna have all these orgies and do all these things. And at the same time, there was this wrestling going on. And even like I had mentioned, the strip clubs, like going to all these places, it was a constant battle. But at the same time, I was like, Lord, even when it came to like the pornography and the masturbation, I was just like, well, at least let me hold on to this, because if I'm gonna stop having sex, quote unquote, and wait till a godly marriage, at least I have something to hold on to. Eventually, one of the things I had said to myself when the relationship had ended years prior, I was like, Lord, I wanna go on mission trips. So by God's grace, I was able to go to Cuba. I met Mike. So Cuba was such a beautiful experience. And I went 2 years in a row. And the first year, there were lots of people. They had lots of stories. And I was just like, wow, that's so amazing. They're personal stories with God. And the second year following up, in my head, it didn't really cross my mind that God was just so interested in my own story. So every morning we had our morning devotions around 6:30, 7 o'clock in the morning. And Mike and Danielle, they were very, very honest with their past journey with God. And that was regarding like homosexuality, coming out of that lifestyle, the pornography, the masturbation. So to me personally, as I was sitting there every morning, I was just like, we're about to talk about this early in the morning. Like, it is 7 o'clock. It's too early. But at the same time, my heart was beating fast because I was like, yo, Kezia, that's you. But you don't want to listen. And like it was a daily thing. So it came to a point because I knew I had to leave a few days earlier than everyone else. The first week had ended by Sabbath, I said, all right, let me at least talk to Danielle. So I had spoke to her. I had told her what was going on. I remember I was crying because I was just like, how long do I have to wait till I have sex? Like how long is this journey going to be? Like, what are we talking about? So there was that frustration in knowing that I have to wait, and failing to realize that the same power that God extended to Mike and Danielle, that he's able to also extend that onto me. God does not now accept a tame, spiritless testimony from his ministers. Such a testimony would not be present truth. The message for this time must be meat in due season to feed the church of God. But Satan has been seeking to gradually to rob this message of its power, that the people may not be prepared to stand in the day of the Lord. So like I had mentioned, Sabbath, I spoke with Danielle and was just sharing her with my frustrations. By Tuesday, I remember Mike, he had shared how he had gone to pornography and masturbation anytime he was feeling like lonely, angry, or tired, or like bored. So I remember I had my sunglasses on because we used to have our devotions like early in the morning right by the beach. So I started to tear up because I was like, oh, that's me too. But I didn't know anybody else was dealing with that. So because of his honesty and his transparency and him just being, in a sense, free and sharing his testimony, I was just like, yo, Kezia, you have an issue. And at the same time, somebody else, he had also shared how anytime we hold on to a particular sin, God is not able to bless us because that sin is taking up that place. So to me, I knew, I was like, Kezia, you know you want a godly marriage, but how in the world are you trying to have a godly marriage if your game plan is to hold on to the pornography and the masturbation? So it just began, like quietly, I began this, began a point where I was just like, all right, God, how are we going to do this? And because I was so shaky, God was just like, all right, you're not sure, I'll help you figure it out. So that was Tuesday. Mike had shared what he had said, and I was just tearing up quietly. By Wednesday, it just so happened to be that there were two other people, two Cubans, locals, they had shared how they were possessed by demons. So in my head, I'm just like, yo, there's a lot of other people here. Why are you coming to me about being possessed by demons? But God was just trying to really make it known that, Kezia, you have demons that you also need to work on. And one person in particular, she had made it clear, because I had asked her, I was like, all right, do you want us to pray for you? And she was just like, yeah, pray for us. So I was just like, all right, we'll pray. So she had sat down and I had knelt. And I remember I had kneeled down and my eyes were closed. But in my head, I'm like, Kezia, how are you trying to cast out demons when you love these demons so much? And it just came to a point where I was just like, Kezia, focus, focus on the scripture. But I was like, I can't really focus because I love these demons. And then at the same time, when we had finished the prayer, I had opened my eyes. She had never closed her eyes. And her eyes were just like, she didn't even blink at me. It was just kind of like that, knowing the interaction of demons going on. So quietly, it was just like, yo, Kezia, are you really going to let this go or not? But at the same time, I'm still like trying to figure out, am I really going to let this go? And by Thursday, I had to share in the evening time, the sanctuary message. And as you go through that process, you see how God's goal is just to restore you to his image. So for me, coming from a construction background, I was just like, Kezia, God has built a structure specifically for you. And for me, coming from construction, I knew that when we had our owners, they were like, all right, I want to build this, I want to do that. It's because they have the money and they want to take their time and, you know, their energy in building something for them. So I was just like, Kezia, God is making it clear that he has created something for you to help you in this journey. Mm-hmm. So by God's grace, I was like, all right, I was now seeing that victory over sin was possible through everything that was going on and God making it clear, like, you could let this go, but you just have to trust me. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Amen. Ah, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heavens and the earth by thy great power and stretched out arm, and there was nothing too hard for thee. So after Cuba, I went back to Florida. And it just so happened to be that Mike also had to go to Florida. So remember, I was telling you, like, internally, I wasn't sure if I was really, really going to let go of this. So God even made it known to me, like, Kezia, I'm going to help you and allow you to even have a follow up. So we spent a day with Mike. So we spent the whole day just talking. And at the same time, while we were talking, I also had twists in my hair. And I didn't know at that time Mike was a hairstylist. But in my head, I was like, what does this white guy want to do with my hair? Because he was like, yeah, I'll help you. And I was just like, what? Because in my head, I was like, first and foremost, I was trying to avoid having to take the time to talk about my struggle. Because now it's like, knowing that I have to talk about it, I'm being brought to another level of accountability. But with him saying, like, yeah, I'll help you, I'm great, I was like, oh, I can't run now. So I was like, okay, maybe. But at the same time, even while we were talking, I was still defensive. I was just like, well, what's the issue? Like, I mean, nobody really knows. It's just me and God. It's not a big deal. But that was just a personal thing between God and I. Confess your faults one to another and pray for one another, that ye may be healed. So thankfully, through the process, I have been seeing Mike, including other people, praying for me on this journey. Christ revealed himself to you, and deep impressions were made as the Holy Spirit moved upon your hearts. But you pursued a course by which you lost these sacred impressions and failed to maintain the victory. Maintain the victory. So after that experience in Cuba, I was now seeing that it was important for me to maintain the victory and not necessarily just say, okay, I'm going to share my testimony, that's it. But I was now seeing like there was a lot of work I had to do because this was my lifestyle. This is who I was. This is who I ran to when I was tired, angry, bored, whatever it was. This is what I ran to. It was not the easiest journey at all. This was really me like the first few months, because it was just like me realizing like, yo, this is how I go to sleep. I go to sleep watching pornography and masturbation. So it's a different story when, okay, I'm going to be, you know, by a friend's house for a weekend. It's all right, fine. I won't do it. But now to say, all right, we're not going to do this for the rest of my life. I'm like, yo, like not even a marriage. Like, so what am I supposed to do now? So I was now realizing that I had to become as little children and make God my entire dependence. And that was just so hard. I remember one of the evenings, because it came to a point where I was going to bed at like 3-4 o'clock in the morning, because I was just like, what am I supposed to do? And I remember I was crying and God was just like, am I not everything to you? And I was like, no, I just want to watch porn. That's all I want to do right now. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. So thy word have I hid in thine heart that I might not sin against thee. Psalms 119:11. That by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. So So I was now beginning to see how important it was for me to have a one-on-one relationship with God. Beforehand, I really don't know what I had with God. But at this time, I was now saying, like, Keezy, you need to really press into God. You need to know His word. You need to know who you are from what He sees you to be. So this began a journey where I was like, all right, let me begin a journey with Him and get serious with Him. Flee also youthful lust. At this point, I was seeing that I didn't really flee youthful lust. That's why I was having such an issue. From my teenage years, I did what I did. And now coming to an age where I was just like, wait, we're not supposed to do this. There was frustration going on because I was like, all right, what am I supposed to run to? This is who I am. But follow righteousness and faith. Faith, charity, peace, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. So I was now seeing that there was a direction I had to switch. I had to switch from constantly going to the lust and now go towards a different direction and being held to a higher accountability. One of that I had noticed that at my job site, so this is one of the projects we had, and normally we would have our safety meetings at 7 a.m, and this is where all the crews, all the tradesmen would come out, and we would just kind of do like a brief walkthrough of any issues, whatever. So with one of that, I was seeing that what I normally tended to do was I would look at the men's size. If you understand what I'm saying, great. If you don't, you don't have to worry about that. So I would look at the size, just out of curiosity. I was like, why not? Nobody knows. So I was eventually seeing, like, as I was getting serious with God, that I had to stop that. I made a covenant with my eyes. Why then should I think upon a maid? So even the same thing, like, at the job sites, I had to stop that. Even at the, what do you call it, at the stoplights, like even when a female passes, I'm like, Kezia, look somewhere else. Like even at the job site, I was like, Kezia, you can look at the rock, you can look at the trailer, you can look at the cloud. Like there's so many other things to look at than just objectifying a human being. Mm-hmm. Honor thy father. Eventually, as I was on this journey, I think for about 5 or 6 months, I knew my dad had some health issues going on. So because I had the home and I specifically bought the home, you know, with several like additional rooms, I was like, well, Dad, you can come by me, live by me. It'll be fine. And that's what he did. And it was such a blessing to have him because we were able to now catch up in what we lost throughout the years. But at the same time, it was realizing that there were some concerns I had as to why he left. So there was constant questionings and not arguments, but discussions we had where I was just like, you know, why did you divorce? Like, why did you leave? Why did you not think you could have just stayed and just worked it out? So there was frustration going on. But at the same time, he was also making it clear to me that I did have some mental issues. And he was just like, you need to go see a psychiatrist. And I was like, I don't need to do that. But I am back in counseling. So I was like, Dad, you got a point there. Yeah, but really recognizing, like, I had to forgive him. And that was the hardest thing to do. So it began a journey, but I was really happy to have him there. And also at the same time, I was reading this book called Youth, Are You Preparing for Your Divorce? And as I was reading that book, it was showing me that because my parents divorced, I have now a higher chance of getting a divorce. So there was that level of frustration because I'm like, I can't even change how I came from. Like, this is who I am. So what am I supposed to do now? So realizing that it is a blessing that I did not get married. But of course, years back, I could not have said that. But as, you know, God has been working things out, I was seeing that it was truly a blessing. Eventually, I had the opportunity to go to GYC. And one of the speakers, Chris Holland, he had shared such a powerful testimony that really spoke to me because though my dad was mentioning that I should go, you know, I should go to see a psychiatrist, he had also asked me, he was like, how long have you been a Christian now? Because he's not Christian, he's not practicing. And I was just like, you know, about 8 years or so. And he was like, you're still the same? So in my head, I was like, you know, you got a point there. Because like I had stressed before with the company I was with, we had stressed continual improvement. So for me, it was just like, Keezy, why is it that in your walk with God, you're still the same? Like, why is it that you're saying that you serve the God of this universe, but at the same time, it seems like his creative power is not active in your own life? My dad told me that all was going to end. And with that, it brought an uncontrollable downward spiral. I became angry. Unhealthy angry. I turned to other things, all kinds of things, and each of them left me more empty than I felt before I did them. Each of them actually making me more angry after their momentary dulling of the pain. I was so angry at so many things. I remember when Holland was sharing that, I was seeing how I was actually angry as well. So God was making it clear that because I was angry from the divorce, that I was going to these certain things as an outlet rather than actually taking the time out and getting help from it. Why didn't you let go of the brick? Because I just wanted to get to the top. Many of us are striving for a mountaintop experience while we're hanging on to the brick. We can't get to the top, and no matter what we do, no matter how hard we kick, we keep having the same issue over and over again. All Jesus is saying to you is, I want you to arise, but in order to arise, you must die. And in order to die, you must let go of the brick. Holland had mentioned how he was at a teenage retreat, and the kids, they had to do some sort of a swimming activity that was going on. And with that, the kids had to get a brick from the bottom of the pool and then bring it to the top. As Holland was sharing this experience, I knew that, Keza, you're a swimmer. You know what it means to have the brick and try to kick to the top. The only way you're going to get to the top is to let go of the brick. So at this time, I was seeing Keza, you have to let go of the brick. Anytime I was acting out in the pornography and the masturbation, it was because I was so frustrated from when I was 12. So now that I was now older, there was a level of accountability I had to be taken account for. By the following day, because this was Friday evening when Holland had shared his sermon, by Sabbath afternoon, we had united prayer. And I don't know if you guys know Jem, but Jem, who leads out United Prayer, he had said, because United Prayer, it's divided into four sections. And of the four sections, they make it, the first section, I think, is Thanksgiving. The second session part is a confession. I don't remember the third and fourth part. But in the first session part, Jem was like, we're going to thank God for the bad experiences. So in my head, I'm like, I ain't thanking God for no divorce. This is not of God. I'm not doing that. But the crazy part is, as we began the United Prayer, there were two people that really stood out to me. And one person, he had said, Lord, I thank you so much that both my parents died because I found you. And in my head, I was like, Kezia, you have both your parents. Yes, they may not have done the right things, but they were still there. Another person, she had said, Lord, I thank you for the rape. And I was like, oh, I don't know if I could say thank you, Lord. But God was just really working in my heart and just saying, Kezia, thank me for the divorce. So eventually through that session, that part, I was like, Lord, thank you for the divorce. And that was something I knew I would, from beforehand, I was like, Lord, I'm never thanking you for this, because it broke me so much. But to see how, even at that moment when I had confessed that, I just began to cry. And thankfully, one of my friends, she was right by me to console me. And everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ concerning you. So through that process with United Prayer, I was seeing that there was still value in being able to praise God for what had gone on throughout my life. This was one of my outlets with carpentry. So when I was in Florida, it was a little bit easier for me to participate in Habitat for Humanity because I was a crew leader there. So with the company I was with, we had volunteered one of the days to do roofing. So this was another way for me to just release instead of just going into someone's bed. So we get home from meaningless, frustrating jobs, and we turn to porn because it gives us a sense of control and importance. Part of our process of fighting porn in our life needs to be the honest sense of accomplishment from hard work. When I originally had read this quote, I was seeing that I genuinely was not happy at work. I knew I was in the right field, but I was serving the wrong audience. So I was happy with what I was doing, but I was like, Kezia, why don't you go back to school? So one of the reasons I knew I was just kind of hesitant with going back to school was because I had tied education so much with Dad. So because Dad left, Dad was my go-to when it came to homework, tutoring, whatever it was. When it came to school, I just became very careless because I was like, well, Dad left, it doesn't matter at this point. But I was seeing that it was important for me to at least better my craft. I remember White, she mentioned something along the lines of mastering your crafts. So I was just seeing that it was really important for me to just do better ultimately. By my birthday, it was last year actually, I was like, Lord, I want to go on a higher level with you. I was like, Lord, my prayer, my aim is higher ground. So I was like, Lord, why don't we do a hot air balloon? So where I was in Florida, thankfully in that town, there was like a hot air balloon. So it was such a beautiful experience because I was seeing in such a tangible way what Christ means by letting go of the things of the past in order to reach to a higher level. When we were about to board the, I don't know what you call it, the basket, our pilot, he kept saying, okay, no bags on the plane. You gotta leave it in the car, wherever else. So in my head, I'm like, yo, it's just a bag. Like, it's not a big deal. But he kept repeating it, no bags on the basket. We have to go up higher. Any additional weight is going to prevent you from really getting up on high. So by the time we finally got up higher, the view was just so breathtaking. Like the panoramic view, just the clouds, the beauty, the calmness. And I was like, Kezia, this is what God is trying to do for you, to let go of what you've been holding on to, all the resentment, the unforgiveness, the anger, the bitterness. Let it go. Forgive your mother. Forgive your father. Because even eventually, I did have an opportunity where I did write a letter to my mother because I was so frustrated with her too. And realizing that it is definitely a journey with having to forgive and to understand that at the end of the day, if I am trying to see Christ, and even how Jackson had mentioned, like, godliness is our reward, like what we're seeking towards, our high goal, then there are certain things I have to do. Eventually, I did end up leaving the company I was with, and I had the opportunity to go to Tennessee with Meet Ministries at a lifestyle center. And I had specifically went there for my skin, for my eczema, to get a detox. And a friend of mine had suggested that I would go to Meet. So I was like, all right, I'll try it out. You know, I'm all for the detoxing because I do need the holistic cleanse aspect. But when I got there and was seeing like the journey we had to go on for those next 10 days, I didn't know that like the first 5 days, it was just like juicing, just cleansing, just drinks. And you know how it is when you're fasting with God, like you become so much like spiritual, your mind is more, you're much more on a clearer level. So at that point, though I went there specifically for my my eczema issues, I was now seeing that God was bringing up like certain issues that I had going on. And one of the evenings, I remember I had broke down to one of my my counselors, like my therapist, and she had made it clear. She was like, Kezia, you don't know what love is. Like, that's why you keep going out to all these things, because you're trying to find it and failing to realize that only God can supply that love to you. One of the assignments I had to do was writing a list down of everyone that had pained me. And I was just like, why would I do that? Like, why would I revisit every pain? Like, what healing would that bring? And they were just making it clear, like, if you don't want to repeat the mistakes, you have to review where you came from. So I was like, all right. But it took me a couple of days to like actually do it. But whatever your anxieties and trials, spread out your case before the Lord, the weaker and more helpless you know yourself to be. So when I had that list, I was seeing there was a common thread, and that was me having abandonment issues. Like anytime I was going to somebody or whatever it was, and I noticed that I was feeling heartbroken, it left me with the feeling abandoned and not feeling loved. The second one was I had believed that I was ugly growing up because of my eczema. Like my mom, she would be like, you're ugly. And that was more so because like anytime I had flared out. So constantly in my mind, when my skin broke out, especially when I was at Meet, my skin was flaring out because now my body's just is naturally just detoxing. So I remember specifically, I wouldn't even look in the mirror. I was like, wash my hands and I'll leave. But I had to realize, like, Kezia, like if you're trying to get a holistic healing, you have to address everything. The stronger you will become in his strength, the heavier your burdens, the more blessed the rest in casting them upon your burden bearer. So I was now realizing that as I was carrying my concerns to God, that his thoughts is what defines me. My abandonment issues, Ephesians 1:4, as he has chosen us in him before the foundations of the world. So I was seeing that I, even though I may have felt neglected, but I still had someone who was now choosing me even before the foundations of the world. And when it came to me feeling ugly, in Job 42:14-15, it just so happened to be that my dad, even though he's not necessarily active in church, he had picked my name from the book of Job. And it says, Kezia, and in all the land were no woman found so fair as the daughters of Job. So fair regard, meaning like beautiful. So I was like, Lord, oh, thank you. And it wasn't even like on a cocky level, but just realizing like who God has made me to be and allowing him to now bring a clarity as to who I was. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. So through that process, I was seeing that there were a lot of things I had to let go of. And like I had mentioned, the resentment issues, and just realizing that if I was ever trying to make it to heaven, if I was 99% good, but yet I still had 1% of resentment, there was no way I would get in. So of course, through being at Meet Ministries and just seeing like how many things I had to let go of, that God was just making it clear that, Kezia, if you truly want to see me, you know, purge out your heart. Eventually, I did move back to New York, and that's where I am now, back in Brooklyn. And one of the reasons I had gone back was, well, you know what? I should go back to school. So by God's grace, I am going back to school the end of August. So I praise God even for that, because God knew that when I had graduated school, I had no desire of going back to school. But to see how much healing that has been going on for me to even decide to, thank you. Yes, to decide to even go back to school is a miracle in and of itself. To understand like where I was years ago in applying to college, like getting denied like 20 plus colleges, and to now, you know, being able to go back to school, it was a humbling experience, because there was a lot that had to take place for me to get to this place and really realize the value of an education. But at the same time, being that I'm in my old territory, I had to realize there was a new mindset I had, and I had to maintain that mindset. As a dog returns to his own vomit, so a fool repeats his folly. It has been a struggle. Go through the struggle of abstinence in order to understand the sacredness of sex. As I've been back in New York, it has definitely been a struggle, but it's been a beautiful struggle, because there is that peace of mind I know that I have now. Whereas before, when I would do all these things, and especially like quietly doing whatever I wanted, and realizing that I was always left with that guilt, that emptiness, that unworthiness after everything had occurred. But now, even though it's, at times it may get hard, but just realizing the next day I'm at peace, knowing that I'm still continuing in purity, especially considering that I've had multiple partners in the past. And sometimes as a female, we kind of question whether or not, you know, when I get to the altar, when I get married, how is a man ever going to respect me? But realizing that as I've been on this process and being honest with God and being renewed, that he's able to restore me. Eventually, as I was back in New York, Mike, he had reached out to me and inquired if I would be willing to join Coming Out Ministries. And even with him asking me, I was just like, me? Because in my head, I was just like, there were so many things I had going on. And even like the picture that you see, like on the right side to the left, there is like the green part, like the darkness to the light. Mm-hmm. And just recognizing, like, even with me being a part of this ministry, it's a miracle. Because when I had such like my depressive moments, you know how some people say, well, at least you can see the light at the end of the tunnel. In my head, I was like, there is no light in the end of my tunnel. Like, that is it. But to see how the process that God has brought me through, that I am now out of it and I've been maintaining it, to see that it is such a beautiful process. And to know that God makes no mistakes. But like I said, at times there's that struggle, but just to know how there's that spirit of knowing that there's that peace. So I thank you for being a part of my accountability, because being a part of the ministry has definitely brought me to another level of accountability, because I know that it's easy for me to go back. It's an easy lifestyle. It's a knowing the immediate gratification, whereas with God, like when I was living in Florida, I was living in a country-like area, so I was in nature. I was able to see how God operated things. And so as I've been on this journey to see how things takes time, whereas what I was doing before, it was that immediate gratification, and failing to realize that with God, things take time. So yes. Do we have any questions, comments, or concerns? Good, so we'll pray. My Heavenly Father, I just thank you so much for your power that you are able to extend to all of us. I thank you for your love and your patience that you have shown me throughout these years. As we are here this afternoon, I just pray that we would all walk away with something, knowing that you are a God who truly just wants to have an intimate relationship with us. I pray for every single person that is here, that in their walks, any concerns, any doubts, any hesitations they may have, that you may make it clear in their paths what they are supposed to do. As the rest of these sessions go on, may you continue to speak to them in a manner in which they will understand. In Jesus' name I do pray. Amen.
This media was brought to you by Audioverse, a website dedicated to spreading God's word through free sermon audio and much more. If you would like to know more about Audioverse, or if you would like to listen to more sermons, please visit www.audioverse.org.